John Bachman, who pierces people's face. The K is for the kill, L is for the lover, and the M is for the mutiny, and I wish it didn't happen.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my drum?
Now the N is for knots, oh no, my bones are sinking. The B is for the peg leg that keeps me standing up. A Q is for quantum leap, R is for the rum, and the S is for the scurvy, which I wish I didn't get.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg.
That's underneath my boat. And B is for Mukitas, who plays a sour note. W is tie is this, X marks a spot. Why? Cause I'm a pirate.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my grog?
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Thursday, March 15, 2012. More Palestinian political prisoners join in hunger strike by Hanaa Shelabi as she enters her 29th day without food, while a soldier stabbed near Jerusalem. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. The Palestinian Prisoners Society announced on Thursday that 20 Palestinian political prisoners held at Israeli Megiddo detention facility entered their 10th day of hunger strike. The prisoners joined Hanaa Shelabi, who entered her 29th day of hunger strike protesting administrative detention and ill treatment by her Israeli captives. Meanwhile, the media office of Waad Society for Detainees and Ex-Detainees reported on Thursday that Palestinian detainees in Israeli prisons and detention camps intends to declare in April one of the largest open-ended hunger strikes. The society said that the detainees will declare the exact day that would mark the beginning of their strike shortly before starting it, as they anticipate that Israeli soldiers will be conducting countermeasures and attacks in order to foil the strike. Some of the anticipated and previously experienced measures include transfer dozens of detainees from one facility to another and placing others in solitary confinement. In other news, Israeli media sources reported Thursday that a female soldier was stabbed while riding the light rail in Jerusalem. The person who stabbed her, said to be a Palestinian, was arrested later on. Medical sources in Jerusalem stated that the incident took place in Pisgat Ze'ev, north of occupied Jerusalem. The soldier was stabbed in her chest and arm and is currently in serious conditions in Sha'ar Tzedek Medical Center. The Israeli National News reported that the attacker entered the train at one of its stops and stabbed the soldier quickly before jumping off the train. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Thursday, March 15th Daily News Roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. Join us again tomorrow for more news and updates. Please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by Hussam Kassis and me, Ghassan Bandoura.
Afghanistan. Yesterday, a visit to Helmand Province by U.S. Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta was greeted by the fiery crash of a stolen truck at the airfield. The truck was stolen by an interpreter working for unspecified foreign forces at the base. The Deputy Commander of American Forces in Afghanistan, Lieutenant General Curtis Scarpetti, said the truck driver had a container of fuel in the truck which ignited in a crash. Quote, "It was a puff of smoke, and he came out engulfed in flames," he reported. "Sounds to me like a poorly thought-out attempt at a suicide bombing, probably aimed directly at the U.S. Secretary of Defense." As of today, the driver has died of his burns. Afghanistan. Yesterday, the U.S. military flew the staff sergeant responsible for Sunday's massacre of 16 women and children out of the country. He was moved to a U.S. base in Kuwait to the outrage of many in Afghanistan. The Afghan parliament has demanded that he be tried by an Afghan court, not by the U.S. U.S. authorities claim he could face the death penalty, but we shall see if that execution is ever carried out. With the shooter now a fugitive from Afghan justice, Afghan lawmakers are calling for putting any strategic partnership with Washington on hold until he is returned. Shortly thereafter, Afghan President Karzai called on U.S. and NATO troops to withdraw from Afghanistan's villages. Jalalabad, Afghanistan. Monday, students staged a protest against Sunday's massacre of 16 civilians, burning an effigy of U.S. President Obama and chanting, "Death to America." Protesters also burned a cross, not as a symbol of the American Ku Klux Klan, but rather as a symbol that they view the massacre as an attack on all Muslims by Christians. Like U.S. prosecutors, but with far more motivation, they called for the execution of the American soldier who left his base without authorization, according to U.S. officials, and massacred 16 people in their homes, then burned some of the bodies. Panjwani District, Kandahar Province, Monday. A U.S. delegation visiting the village where the massacre took place was fired upon by the Taliban. No reports of casualties. The Taliban has gone on record with a threat to behead U.S. soldiers in return for Sunday's massacre. Panjwani District, Kandahar Province, Tuesday. Two of Afghan President Karzai's brothers were fired on by the Taliban as they were leaving a funeral service for victims of Sunday's massacre. An Afghan government soldier was killed in the ensuing gun battle. Mr. Barack Obama, right now the reaction to the massacre is rather muted, but that can't last forever. Even Afghan President Karzai is demanding U.S. troops withdraw from villages, which means your permit to occupy Afghanistan has just run out. Bring all the troops home today. The GOP primaries for the 2012 presidential election are beginning to take on an ugly sectarian undertone. We've got violently anti-gay and anti-birth control activist Rick Santorum attacking Barack Obama, a sitting president, for being the wrong kind of Christian. The only other country I know of where this kind of sectarian religious attack is being made on a head of state where any member of his cabinet is a rock, where Prime Minister Maliki, a Shiite, trying to have the Sunni vice president arrested. If the 2012 election in the U.S. turns on sectarian issues, both GOP frontrunners will have a problem. The last Catholic U.S. president was Kennedy, but he did not need a single vote from GOP Southern fundamentalist Protestant Christians to get elected. Mitt Romney, a Mormon, would be rejected by a lot of Southern Baptists and other so-called evangelicals as not being a Christian at all, while Santorum, being a Catholic, would have to overcome bigotry by some fundamentalist Protestants that regard the Catholic Bible as satanic or worse. Maybe that's why Santorum is campaigning so aggressively on anti-women and anti-birth control issues, so beloved of the religious right, to get ahead of the sectarian problem? If so, I don't know what the elephant in the room is smoking. Some kind of hashish, I suppose, but I do not want to hit on it, and I hope to God it goes out before November. Fearing protests, the White House has decided to move the G8 summit, which was going to take place on the 19th of May in Chicago, to Camp David. If the G8 had been held in Chicago, they would have been following on the history of the Pittsburgh and Toronto battles over G20 meetings there. The G8 is the 8 richest nations on Earth. The G20 is the 20 richest nations on Earth. And protests of the G20 led to major street battles in both Pittsburgh and Toronto. This time around, with Adbusters, the folks that originated the call for Occupy Wall Street, calling for 50,000 protesters, the authorities have folded without a fight. This is a major victory for anti-capitalist protesters over the G8, the 8 richest nations on Earth. NATO is still meeting in Chicago on the 19th of May. I don't know how many of the G20's participants in person will also be at the NATO meeting. The authorities are hoping that getting rid of the G8 will take the fire out of the protests. I guess they're just afraid of having a repeat of the 1968 Democratic National Convention in Chicago, just 6 months before President Barack Obama's re-election bid. This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to wsqtradio@hushmail.com. Repeat, wsqtradio@hushmail.com.